Saturday, March 11th, in Allakaket, talking to Bertha Moses, daughter of Oscar Nicktoon Sr.
The first thing, we're trying to write a family tree of Oscar's children and how many grandchildren. He says that he can remember his children's name, but there's so many grandchildren he can only remember when he sees them.
Yes.
So I was wondering how many children you have and what their names are.
Okay, I have 11 children. We have six daughters and five sons. They come in like this. The oldest is a girl, then the next one is a boy. Then there's four girls in a row, then three boys in a row, then a girl, then a boy. And we have 11 children, they're all living. Their names are Cora McGuire, Cora's married, and Bergman, and Virginia Ned, then Kathleen, and Barbara, and Bertha Sherry, Johnson Moses Jr., Rudy, Ross, and Brenda, and Calvin, and
K or C?
C. And Cora is Cora will be 30 years old in April, and Bergman is 28, Virginia is 26, Kathy is will be 24 pretty soon today this month, and Barbara is 22, Sherry is 20, John Jr. is he's 18. Rudy is 17. Ross is 16. Brenda is 14. Calvin is 10. And what else?
How many grandchildren do you have?
Oh, I have, let me see. I have Cora's two girls.
That's
Jennifer. And Jennifer and Arlene. And I have, Bergman has two boys. One is in Minto. Their names are Peter and Jason. And Kathy has one daughter. Kathleen has one daughter. That's her, okay. And Barbara has a son. That's all. That's all the grandchildren we have. That's six. Uh-huh.
Do you know how many grandchildren the others?
The others have? Okay. Elma has, she has, let me see. Elma has four her own grandchildren, and she has three step grandchildren too.
Mm-hmm.
And
I have how many Kitty has and how many Anne has.
Oh yeah, okay. Then Wallace, our brother, has. As far as I know, he have four boys, four grandsons. That's all. And
Junior doesn't.
No, Stella has. Stella doesn't have any grandchildren. She has just her own kids. Let
how
me
many,
see.
How many children does she have?
Stella has three, two boys and one girl.
How many children does Wallace have?
Let me see, Ricky, Roy, Wallace. Ricky, Mabel, Roy, Ricky, Lulu, Mabel, Roy, Debbie. He has seven children.
And Elma has how many children?
She has Rani, Rhea, who's next to Rani? Harding, and Billy, and Sally, and Gerald, and Susie. Is that her? Yeah, she has seven. She lost one, and she has one stepson. I might be wrong because I'm missing some.
And Betty?
Betty has Mike, Jerry Beth, Timmy, and Frankie and Tammy. Betty has five.
Does she have any grandchildren?
Yes, Betty has one grandson.
So that's six of the children. Now, Carolyn, right?
Pardon me?
Carolyn? Huh? Is there a Carolyn?
No, there's no. Okay. You got, you got Betty, huh? She died long ago. She died in
1943.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, there's six women and two men. I guess we're too old to say six girls and two boys now.
Okay. So we'll be able to count them all up and find out how many grandchildren mm-hmm. have.
Yeah, I wanted to do that, but I never get around to it yet.
Yeah, we'll figure that out before I leave.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well, I was wondering what you remember the very earliest of your father.
Okay, I remember off and on some things I'll try to remember. When I first remember, I remember when we had a new baby, that was Kitty. I remember that time, then I forget again. Then after a while, I would remember going to camp up to Steamboat to stay with my grandmother and grandfather. And then after a while, I would remember when my dad picked me up from up Steamboat and bring me down. Just off and on, I remember those things.
What do you remember about staying with your grandparents?
When the first things I really remember good and I'll never forget about is, I remember I went to fish camp with them. We line up with dogs and we get to the camp and we stayed in tent, and after we eat supper, it doesn't get dark in July, but it get kind of dusky in the evening. We would sit around the stove and my grandparents would leave the tent door open. Then I would remember we would look across the river at those hills, and she would tell me story about her other daughter, and her daughter lived in Tanana. She used to say her daughter lived where there's a big river, and I didn't even know where she meant, and she called it kind of across there, she said. I would look at that hill and I would just imagine right on top of that hill, that's where she is. And that's one first thing I remember, staying with Grandma. Then after that, I forgot about that again. But I never forget that. That's one of the first memory I have of staying with Grandma.
How old were you then?
I don't remember because I know I don't go to school yet. I probably was about 4 years old maybe. Mm-hmm. Because when Kitty was born, I was not even three. I was going on three. I was almost three when Kitty was born. That's when I first remember.
The grandparents, were they your mother's parents or your father's
parents? No, dad's parents. They were dad's parents. Then I stayed with them off and on. And dad and mom would come by and with the other kids. And then they go on further up the river. And I stayed with them off and on. My grandma used to tell lots of stories. Sometimes dad stopped by on his way, if it's summertime, on his way down this way or up. And in wintertime, he would be on his way up to his trap line and stop and stay overnight with grandma and grandpa. Sometime he dropped me off on his way up and then picked me up on his way down. I guess I want to go home. And my grandparents, I didn't stay with them steady. It was off and on.
Mm-hmm. Where was father going when he went up, when he would stop by?
He would be going up where he called Kobuk Portage. If it's wintertime, that's where he'd trap over to Hawk River. That's where he used to trap marten. Then sometimes he just go up to, I don't remember what they call that place. It's above Sirak anyway. That's where sometimes he just go up to haul a load of fish, frozen fish, what they put away up there in the summertime, in the fall time.
And he would come with his dogs?
Yes, he would come with his dogs. I remember he had this team. They were all, they were one family of dogs. That's what the first thing I remember every time Dad come and I run out and look at him. I used to remember he had really long, big sled, not like today now. He used to have... He told us later he used to have 14-foot sled. Then I used to remember, I could just picture those dogs, yet he used to have about 6 or 7 dogs, and they would be all the same color. They were kind of gray with black tip on their fur, and I kind of remember most of their names too. And I think he had those dogs up till I was about 7 or 8. And then he would come, and then sometime he'd eat lunch and then go on to his cabin. He had a cabin up where they call, we just call it a little house. In our language, we call it Dupkorok. And sometime he'd go on to there. Sometime that's where he trapped from too, if he's not going to Hawk River.
Would you hear the dogs coming when he came?
No, Grandma and Grandpa had two dogs. They used to have two dogs, and when way before he come, maybe about an hour or so before he get up there, then those two dogs would, especially one dog, my grandma's old black dog, used to start howling. Then we would go out and look to see what direction he is looking. Then he would be looking down towards this way. Then I would think maybe Dad is coming. So we stayed in the house, and when he really start barking now, then we know he's the dog team, then we run out.
Would you be excited?
Yeah, really excited. And I would think, I wonder what kind of goodies he would bring me. And lots of times he would bring Grandma and Grandpa some staples, what he think they might be out of. And them days we don't get to have much of anything that's like candy and anything. But if there's just fruit or raisins or dried fruit or anything, that was a big treat. Mm.
Do you remember a real special treat he brought to you one time? Or that you liked best when you brought it?
I always be so happy to see him, and I can't even remember anything like that. I just don't remember what he bring before. Mostly it's always anything that my mother sent up. All I remember is mostly fruit and things that's dried fruit. That's what Dad used to haul around all the time. Anyway, he used to have beans and fruit, dried beans and fruit, you know, that he cook and eat while he's out too.
And so when did you go back down to Latin?
I used to stay about sometime, maybe I stay about a month sometime. And I usually come down around about when Valentine's Day is over, because when I come home and I would come in our house, and our house would seem real big after staying in my grandma and grandpa's little igloo. And it was really a sad house, but we used to call it igloo. It was just a sad house with built with logs and moss over it. And when we come to our log cabin across there, it used to be big, and there's floor and everything. And then I would see, look in the wall, and there would be all kinds of pretty Valentines stuck to the wall. My sisters, what they make, they used to stuck them to the wall with like dough, flour and water dough for paste. And then I always remember that, because I know I missed the Valentine party and where they miss making the Valentines. That probably happened about two or three times, because I remember it real good.
Where would the Valentine party be?
In the school, the Episcopal school. That's what they had before they had territorial school.
Would your grandparents come down with you?
No, they usually stay up there. The only time they come down is they usually come for Christmas and New Year. Then they go back up. Then they would come down for Easter in April. Then they would go back to camp, and then they would come down in last part of June, then go back to fish camp in about middle part of July. Then they would stay there and never come till Christmas again.
Did they used to live in Latin?
When they got older, about 1942, it was the year our mother died, that they started living across there. I remember I was 12 years old then when my mother died, and it was that same fall. It was in October, and I remember Dad building them a little log cabin. It didn't look that small. He built it for them. I used to see him go back and bring logs out with dogs, or somebody help him maybe. And maybe our oldest brother help him. Then he built it, and it didn't take him long. He got the logs from Alatna right under the hill and in the hillside. And he built them a little cabin. They lived there they lived there about 4 years. Then my grandfather died next, 1946.
You remember when your mother died?
Yeah, I remember that time.
Yeah, Oscar told about that.
Yeah.
Did he come?
The nurse didn't come across even. It was too much ice in the river.
Yeah, that was a hard time of year.
Yeah.
And after your mother died, then you took care of
The oldest one, Elma, was still home. Elma took care of us. I know it was getting cold after our mother died. It was getting really cold in November. That's when I really missed her the most, because we have to have warm mukluks. And our oldest sister, Elma, she went in the cast and got caribou legs out, and she had all of us scraped our share. Then she cut them out for us and teaching us how to sew. I know it took me about a month maybe to finish mine. Me and there was Anne and me and Clara and Kitty. We were trying to make our own mukluks. She helped us along. Then That's the first time we ever make them. We make the real simple ones. And after Elma got married, and there was Wallace and Anne. Wallace was a real big help. About 1 year after our mother died, Wallace, our oldest brother, he went to work in Bettles. I think he was only 16 years old then. He went to work in Bettles, and I don't know what they were doing. Anyway, they call it, he was working for CAA. It was then they were building the towers. That's what they told us. That's all I heard that time. Excuse me. And then he came down in September, in fall time. And before that, we never used to see Czechs. And he had this, my grandmother, my other grandmother in Bettles, my mother's mother, she moved to Bettles after our grandfather died. So she made this little wallet for him out of caribou, tanned caribou skin, like leather. Then he had this little leather thing full of papers. And he used to, we had this wood cook stove, and it had the warming oven. And I used to see that wallet with these papers inside in the warming oven. And then they had what they call a government store. And our brother would get one of those paper from inside that thing and go to the store and bring home sled load of groceries, Dad and him. I always thought all that, I don't know what those papers was, but then one time, it was about February, I think, or somewhere in the winter anyway, he gave us one of those papers and he told us to order clothes from Sears Roebuck catalog. That's all us sisters. And there was Anne, me, Kitty, Betty, Stella, five of us. And he made a different order for our youngest our brother. Then I remember we look at that paper, what we I think was paper. And then about somewhere along there, I found out it was money. I didn't know they had checks. All we saw was trade money or those silver dollars before that. And
were you really happy to be able to order things from
the
Sears catalog?
Yeah, we all sit down and we try to divide it, what each person need. And mostly we ordered material to make our clothes. And I guess, I don't know who helped me make my clothes. Maybe Elma cut it out. She used to cut clothes out for us, and we make dresses and petticoats and underclothes, and
yeah. Did you you sewed everything by hand then?
We had this old sewing machine that you crank with your hand. Mm-hmm. You know, then I don't even remember what the name was.
Mm-hmm. And so you learned how to use that when you were real young?
Yes, I know when nobody's around, I used to mess around with it lots. I even poked my finger before too, and then it tangled up a lot at first, but I probably was about 13 when I learned to sew without fouling up everything.
Mm-hmm. How old were you when you were the one who took care of all the kids?
Oh, after Anne got married, then it was my turn to take care of the kids, and I was 15. And we went to, Dad took us to winter camp up Blackjack. And my sister Elma and her family were staying there. So after a while, my sister Elma and her family move along. They move, and we stayed in this little cabin. I think that cabin was built by Lucy and Sam. So I was 15, and my grandfather and grandmother stayed in Alatna across here. Grandfather was still alive then. So we ran out of groceries. And there was no more store here again after that. What they call that store wasn't here that year. So Dad was trapping up around his little cabin, or someplace up that way anyway. And he come back and he said he was going to Hughes. And I was 15, and that was February. It could be somewhere around first part of February. So Dad told us to, he'd go to all the way to Hughes to buy groceries. And he told us he'd be gone 11 days. So he left down this way. And us, we had some food, like we didn't have too much food. And there was me, Kitty, Betty, and Junior, and Stella. And Elma's oldest daughter, Rhea, was staying with us too. There were six of us. And we used to have candlelight in the evening. And so Dad left. And every day, Betty and I would check our rabbit snares and ptarmigan snares. There wasn't hardly any rabbits that year, too. And Kitty would stay home with the other kids, and her and our brother, would cut all the wood and carry water for the day. Every day we do that. And every time sometimes we catch one rabbit, we'd skin it, cut it up, and cook it. And then we keep throwing, we didn't even have no dogs. So we would throw all the rabbit guts on top of the little house. And we count the days when Dad would come. Every evening we would read. I remember we had one book, it was the Aladdin lamp. And I read it to the kids, to the younger ones. And they really like it. They never got tired of it. I guess I didn't read it all at one night. And we had some old Collier's magazines. That's what Dad used to have. And we tried to read them. I used to can't understand them all, but I read them anyway. Just understand part of it, the stories. Then we waited, and we never did see not one person in that 11 days. And we were running short of food. I think we rationed our food out and for 11 days too, because the 11th day we ate our last cornmeal. The last cornmeal we made, boiled it for cereal. We didn't have any sugar or salt or milk to go with it, so we ate it. Then we had one fish left too. So we ate, it was just kind of small fish. So we sawed it up and boiled it, and we ate it and drank the broth. And I told the kids, Dad will come tonight. I wasn't even worried. And we didn't have nothing left, not even tea. Oh, probably we didn't drink tea too anyway much. Then we waited. It was snowing and warm. Not really heavy snow, just snowing a little in warm weather. The kids run in and out and play. Kitty and I used to play after we finished all our work too. We would play with the kids in the river, running or sliding down. And no worries. Then Stella was getting kind of hungry, and she wanted to know what we'll eat for supper. I say, if Dad doesn't come tonight, I think I'll bring those rabbit guts in, and maybe that's what we'll eat, I told her. And Stella never forget about that. I don't know how old she was then. Oh, she was 5 years old, because she's 10 years younger than me. And she never forget about that, because she didn't want to eat that rabbit guts. So we stayed around. We had nothing to eat, and we washed our dishes, I guess, and we had enough wood. We're just going to wait for that. And about noontime, our brother came from upriver, that's Wallace. He had a load of this frozen fish. They're not very fresh. They're kind of old. And he come in. Us girls never used to talk with him much, except Stella. So Stella told him, we didn't have any more food. We don't even have tea or anything. Stella told him, Bertha said that we would eat those rabbit guts if Dad doesn't come. And he kind of laughed. Then he went out and bring in some fish. Then we had some frozen fish to eat. Then Wallace start down this way. After he give his dogs rest, he start down. Dad still never come. At least we got fish for to eat now, we were thinking. So we played. We play outdoors and slide down, run around. And it was getting kind of dark. And here they coming back. Wallace coming back again too. And we were so happy. He had this, Dad had this big load with all kinds of food. I remember he even hauled some apples and everything up. What I remember, he 20 times maybe.
So you had macaroni?
Macaroni. We cooked the macaroni, then we put the canned salmon in it. We didn't have any meat, I guess. And I went out and cooked dog feet. All of us run in and out and cook dog feet. I remember we had our dog pot close to the bank, and I put snow and melt snow and throw some dried fish in there for the dogs. We used to really treasure our dogs too, and we used to really like them because they work for us. Especially Dad had one big old dog. He was kind of real light color. He wasn't white, but he was about real beige color. And he was really big. That was his leader. And then after that, we were so happy. And after Dad rested up for a while, and he went hunting again. And we stayed there that winter. Then we had meat. Dad hunted, and he got some meat. So he told me and my youngest brother to haul the meat. And around that time, Dad didn't have too big a sled now. And so he told us to haul the meat, so we did. And we had everything the way we feel. He bring his new magazines to the colliers. And so we read or look at the pictures. And then we decided we should try to catch beaver. Beaver was really high priced then, beaver skins. I think what they call blanket was $90 or $80. So we decided we should try to catch beaver too. I decided we should try to catch beaver. So Kitty and I and our brother went back. Betty stay home with the other ones. Then we went back and we chop ice in the lake. I think the ice was about at least 2 feet or a little over 2 feet. It could be 2.5 feet. So we decided we'll set fishnet for the beaver in front of the beaver house. Not too far. And so we chopped ice all day. We know how to set fishnet under ice because we set it for fish before, but not in that thick ice. We made 9 water holes. I still remember. So we set the fishnet and we go home and play. And I don't know how long we left it, maybe a couple of days. So we went down back to check it one day. After we set the net, we set it with rope. Then you can tie the rope to one end and pull the net out and check it. So we tied the rope to one end and so we could set it over again. And we pulled the net out from one end. And here was a beaver. And we don't even know what size it was. I told Kitty and my brother that beaver is that's the baby one. And we bring it home. We carried it home. We didn't have any sled. And so we walked. So we carried it home and I skinned it. And I cooked about half of it. We saved the other half for when Dad comes home. And it was really fat beaver. And We couldn't eat very much of it. And when Dad come home and we saw him the beaver and everything, he told us that was medium, what they call medium. And I thought, oh, I told him I thought that was the baby one. So we stretched it, and after we moved down to Alatna, then we sold our beaver skins down. We sold our beaver skins down to Hughes that time, and I got $35 for it. And we used to every dollar we make, we used to send it to Sears. I think that's where I ordered material and things to make clothes for again. What now, next?
Let's see. Oh, do you remember when your father was sick and went to Mount Edgecombe?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. That was in 1956. 56. I was sick too that time. I was in Fort Yukon Hospital, my husband and I. And I wasn't really sick as the other people. But they had to have me in there to get checkup to anyway. So when I come back, Dad wasn't home. He was down Mount Edgecombe Hospital with TB. And I think he came home 67. He stayed over a year anyway. Mm-hmm.
He said it was 2 years when he came.
Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. See, I don't really remember. That was 58 then. Not 60, but 50. Mm-hmm. It was 56 and 58 then he come home. And all that time, too, my sister Betty was... she was training as PN, and then she was working down there too.
And Stella was working too?
Stella was going to Mount Edgecombe High School then. I don't know what grade she was in then, mm-hmm. that year.
Mm-hmm. And do you remember when he got his job as working in Riverboat?
Oh yeah, when we were little. Some summers we never see him. There's one more I remember. I was about 7 years, 6 or 7 years old. And yeah, I was six. I didn't go to school yet. And we, that summer I stayed with my mother, not with grandma this time. So we went all the way to Sinyalik. And that's where we had our fish camp. Our grandparents were there to my mother's parents. Then we never see Dad all summer that time. And he was working in the riverboat. I don't know. I think he was working for Wilfred Evans. Then we never see him. We went to camp in middle of July. Or anyway, it was almost middle of July. Then we never see Dad all summer. We stayed in that camp all that time. They picked cranberries and fishing and put a lot of fish and berries away that summer. Then we moved up above the camp. I remember they dammed the river for fish to catch with seining net to freeze. I know there was Uncle Frank and Auntie Dora and Auntie Bessie and Johnny Edwards and Grandma and Grandpa. That's my mother's parents. And there was Akvik Napoleon and her family. That's how many people they. And I remember we still hadn't seen Dad. This is late part of September now. Then we decide to come down this way with boat. We everybody pack up and put everything in their boat, and we start down. And we didn't go very far, and we see Dad walking in the bar. Here he was walking up to us. And we were so happy. We landed and we got him, and he told us it freezes across down here in our camp, in our old fish camp, where we had this summer camp. So we land above the ice, and everybody land there and put up camp. That's where we spent the fall. And I remember when we land and We carry everything up the bank to the where they're going to put up tent. And I remember Dad had, he had a pack sack. And one of the things I remember was one great big turnip. Today when I think about it, I always think, I wonder how he carried that turnip all the way from Alatna up to the Signal. And we had a tea kettle then. I used to look at that tea kettle and I would think that turnip was about as big as the tea kettle. And we sliced it and Mom sliced it and we all had turnips, I remember.
Do you remember a trip that he took one time? It was about 18 miles down from Alatna to go to a dance. You know that picture he has on his wall?
No, I don't remember that because before we were born. Because it's probably before we were born. You mean
there were four children? No, not the picture on the wall. He has a picture that's torn. We photographed it for him so he could have a big copy. And he said there are four of the children on the sled.
Oh, you mean that's 80 miles. You mean to Tanana? When I was baby. That's to Tanana.
Because it would make women envy now because we went so far to go to a dance.
Yeah. I see that picture before. I was the baby then. And I don't remember that time when we were down Tanana. But my sister Elma used to tell a story about she had to stay home with me. She was not even 7 years old, and I was almost a year old then, she said. And Elma say Mom and Dad would go to dance in Tanana. Then Elma had to stay home with me. And there was another... she said we stayed with Dad's sister down there that time. And they had big house, and we stayed with them.
What do you remember about going to school? When did you first go to school? And how often did you go?
Oh, okay. That year when we met Dad and we come down, I was 6 years old. Finally, we moved down to the little cabin, then we come to Steamboat, and finally we come down with dog team. Dad walked down again, and he picked up sled. He walked down with the dogs this time and picked up the sled and harness, so he bring us down. And
that's, what time of year?
It was late October now. I know it was still warm and not very much snow. Late October, then I was real anxious to go to school. I'd never been to school before, and I was real anxious. I remember coming across, and I was going to go in the church. That's where we used to have Sunday school. And I thought that church was where the kids go to school. I didn't even... The church and the log cabin school was right close to each other. And I was running in the porch, and I was so anxious. And the other kids told me, that's not the place. They told me where the school was. I didn't even know where the school was. And from then, we went to school off and on. Sometimes we miss almost a whole year too, just off and on. And they used to have, I wanted to go to school real bad when I was about 4 and 5 years old, because all the kids that go to school used to hang their stockings and Santa Claus would fill them up real full, and they hang them up on Christmas Eve. And they would come across Christmas, early Christmas morning, and pick their stockings up. And the preschoolers and the adults get their presents on Christmas evening. And I was waiting for that all that time. And Christmas Eve come, and we were in the hall, and I think, when will we hang our stockings now? I don't even know what kind of stockings or what they'll hang. And I waited, and it had just happened that year that the missionaries decide not to hang the stockings and decide to give the presents out all together that evening. And so I never did hang stockings. I remember I look forward to that a lot.
Disappointed.
Yeah. That's a yeah. That's how come I still remember it.
Yeah. What kind of presents would you get?
Oh, we would get a present from the mission. Sometimes we get clothing. Each person in the whole village would get one one item of clothing. Maybe it could be a hat, knitted hat, a scarf, or a pair of stockings, or a pair of mittens, or a sweater. A lot of times they were sweaters, lots of knitted things. Mostly they're new. And there used to be some used clothing too, but mostly they give us the new ones. And it always be the knitted one. I guess I don't know where they come from. And once in a great while we get a doll. Sometimes every child, I think, would get one item of clothing and one item of some toys. Sometimes it could be a coloring book or a doll or a book. And that was really plenty. And we get a bag of candy.
Did you ever trade your presents?
No.
Treasure what you get.
Yeah, I remember the first doll I had was a little colored doll. My sister Clara had one, I had one. Anne had a doll that was white, and we had colored dolls. And the next time I had a doll, I think that's the only time I had a doll. Then one time I remember my real good Christmas present, it was a little toy cook stove with the cooking utensils on it.
What do you remember the first thing you learned in school?
Oh, we didn't have we had different kind of books then. We didn't have Dick and Jane and things like that. Like Dick and Jane, all that come up when I don't know, not too long after that, I guess. But I still remember the school books. The first thing I remember is when I go to school, I already knew how to write my name. I already know how to write my name when I was 5 years old. My mom teach me. That's all I know. Then first thing I learned to write was A and cat. They had this big chart they call. There was Rover and, let me see. There was the cat and Rover and Mama and Papa. They didn't have daddy in them days in those books. The first thing we never print to. When we first go to school, we just learn to write from the beginning. Them days, they didn't teach us how to print like today. We just learned to write longhand from just right off. I know it was hard. Lots of people have trouble learning. Then I went to school off and on until I was about 14. I didn't even finish sixth grade. I remember most of the books there was in that school. There used to be a cupboard there with a lot of old books, and we would read them. And we had this what they call a primer. I don't know what that means. Then first grade, second grade, and all that. I had only one teacher in grade school. That was Miss Kay.
So you learned how to read then?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I learned how to read, but I never learned how the meanings of a lot of words until I start reading magazines like the Collier's. Well, that's in my teens. And then when I get married, then we have radio, and when we have dictionary, then we learn to the meaning of the words. We still talk our language with our grandmother to that time then.
So how many languages do you speak?
Three. Athabaskan, Eskimo, and English.
So you can talk to almost anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead.
So when you were 14, 15, and taking care of your brothers and sisters, they didn't get to go to schools part of the time, right?
Most of the time.
Were you teaching them how to read then?
I don't remember. I used to read to them, but I don't remember if I teach them how to read and everything.
Do you remember when your father started learning how to read, teaching himself to read?
No, he started that when he was really young, I think. I probably was born when he was 30 years old, so I wouldn't remember. He told us about when he teach himself all that self-taught.
What did he tell you about that?
He said he went to school someplace up, I don't know, Weisman or Bettles, when he was really young. And then he moved, I don't know, back and forth. He didn't go to school very much, he told us. But he learned to read and write. He has real good handwriting. Well, could you stop it for a while?
Oh, yeah.
I got to check my cooking. Okay, which one first now?
Anyone. Maybe your grandmother's story?
Oh, okay. When my grandmother used to tell story, she was a good storyteller. Every evening after we pick berries and fishing and do all the daily work, then we'd sit after supper and we sit around the stove in the tent, and she would just talk and talk. She the things she used to tell me I remember that, you know, in like discipline wise, she used to tell me, it's not good to steal, it's not good to lie, and it's not good to be dishonest, and all that. I hear that so many times when we were growing up, and when I was used to stay with her. The things she talk about, I always remember is when the first white man come up, Kobuk River, that's down in Kobuk, that's where she, my grandmother, grew up. And she said she must have been about 11 or 12 years old, the way she tell the story. She said she was a girl, little girl yet. Anyway, she was big enough to remember too. She said this boat come up, and there was this white guy, and he had a boat, and he had some other guys with him, but I guess he was the boss, because she used to call him Meji Johnny. And I thought, when all those years when I was growing up, I didn't know what she was trying to say. I thought maybe she was trying to say Mr. Johnny or what. Anyway, she said Meji Johnny. And after I grow up and I read this book about when this first white man go up Kobuk River, and it was Mr. Stoney. And she would tell story about Mr. Stoney, and she said he wintered in Kobuk that year. And her mom and her would help, they do some things for the white people, and then they would pay them. One time she said they got paid with something in a can, it was. And her mother just threw it up on top of their sod house on the roof, and anybody who want to eat it would eat it. And she said it was dried fruit. I always think maybe she meant peaches, because she said it was just like ears. And she said they got paid with that, and one time they did something for that Mr. Stoney's crew again, her and some other kids her age, and they offered them a meal, and they sit down, and here they gave them beans, and she said it was really salty. She know what is salty, because they went down to Kotzebue one time, and she know the water is salty. And she said the food was really salty. That's because they don't eat salt. And she said there was bacon on it. I always think that probably was pork. And she said some of the kids pushed those pieces of bacon down the crack in the floor where they were sitting, and because it was too salty. And they couldn't eat the food. It was all too salty. And then they spent the winter there. And there was this one old lady. She used to smoke all the time. And that's the first time they saw matches to Grandma. And she said, this old lady would, every time she's gone light her pipe, and she always mentioned Mr. Stoney's name. She would, every time she strike a match, she would say, Mr. Stoney. And that she say it different. She said, Mitty Johnny. Every time. And that's when they first saw matches. And then they learned a little bit English words. My grandma didn't learn to speak English, but she knows some words. I know she said one time, I guess in later life, they when they're about grown up now, her and her friends go visit some white guys, and they come, and this one girl, they learn few words in English, so this girl say, they just come to them and she tell them, goodbye. And that white guy told them, mush on. And then she say, as they pass, and she tell them, hello. And that's the few words my grandma learned. And after that, she, I don't know if it was the same time or sometime after, there was other white guys come up Kobuk River again. And she said, nice guys. Then they left after that. I guess they just spent the summer and then leave in the fall. And this one old lady, I don't know if it was the same one that strike the matches or not, she made song for the young girls. You want me to sing it? She made song for the young girls to sing for this young guy. She said, Tommy Healy. She called that guy Tommy Healy. Tommy Healy. I don't know what she meant. She said, Tommy Healy, Oshak Dog. Tommy Healy, Ayak Dog. Ariga, look at back. That's love song this one old lady make so that for the young girls so they can sing for that guy. And I don't know what that guy's name was. She sounds like she said Tommy Healy. I don't know what. Anyway, it sounded like that to me. And other one too. Oh, and some of the white guys learned to talk Eskimo language too a little. And she say, this one guy say, how my grandmother say it is. She said, Samar si sisko alapa pichok, guwak alapa. She said, he say, San Francisco is, she said, Samar si sisko, you know, and when I grew up, I know what she meant. She said, San Francisco is warm, but Kobuk is cold. She said, this white guy say. That's enough about Kobuk. Now what next?
Let me see how much. We have a little bit here, and we can start one more, but, you know, we don't have to finish it. Just finish the questions. Why don't I get the other tape out?
I just didn't have time yet.